happens that led to birth of Daksha we saw yesterday. How the Prachetas came out of the waters and they saw the trees, they burnt it. Then Soma tried to pacify the Prachetas. And then eventually he gave them Marisha to marry. And they married Marisha and Daksha was begotten. And Daksha started creating various living entities through his mind and semen. And he, in this way, he started creating the devatas, demons, human beings like that. But still, when he saw that the population was not increasing as much as he would have liked, he went to the foothills of Vindhya Mountain to perform austerities. So there he performed extreme austerities. And he started offering these Hamsa Guhya prayers, which were actually composed by someone else, but apparently they were very famous prayers, or probably Daksha was very inspired to offer them. So he starts offering those prayers. So today we will start with the Hamsa Guhya prayers. These prayers are generally not so much of personal prayers, in the sense it is mostly glorifying the Supreme Lord, mostly for his being not very easily knowable. So there is a very strong emphasis on in the shlokas to establish the supremacy of the Supreme Lord, the Aishwarya of the Supreme Lord. So definitely very good prayers for beginners to understand the nature of the Supreme Lord and how much as living entities we are we do not have the capacity to actually completely understand the Supreme Lord. So understanding our infinitesimal nature and understanding the infinite nature of the Supreme Lord. So these prayers are very very appropriate prayers. They are of course little technical also, but if we you know, carefully read them and try to assimilate, you know, it is we can understand. Okay, so we'll start with the first prayer, which is the 20th chapter. Shri Prajapati Ruvacha Namaparaya Vitatanu Bhutaye Gunatraya Bhasa Nimitta Bandave Adrishta Dhamne Gunatatva Buddhibir Nivritta Manaya Dade Swayambhuve. So he says, of course, we will follow a protocol. We may not necessarily memorize the verses. Maybe one or two verses we may choose to memorize. But even though we may not memorize the verses, but we will definitely try to understand the word meanings and recollect the words and word meanings. That's all. That much we will try to do. So I am telling this beforehand so that you pay attention while we are reading each verse. And if there is a verse which we are going to memorize, I will let you know. But mostly we may not memorize the verses because these are long verses and little technical verses. But definitely we will try to recollect the word meanings so that we can understand the purport and the commentary clearly. So that much endeavor we will do. Okay. So here he says, Namo Dade. Namaha Dade. Means I am offering my respects to whom? Swayambhuve, to the self-born Lord, Swayambhu, the Supreme Lord. And what is the nature of this Swayambhu, Supreme Lord? Paraya. Paraya means he is superior to the Jiva and he is superior to Maya and its products. That is why he is called as Paraya. Avitata Anubhutaye. Avitata means infallible, indefeatable or or real, as it is mentioned here. Anubhuti is experiential knowledge. Avitata anubhutaye means who is real knowledge, which means the experience of whom is real and eternal. That is the meaning of avitata anubhutaye, whose knowledge is real. Okay. Nimitta bandave, and who inspires to act. Nimitta means he becomes the cause. Nimitta bandave means he becomes the cause of acting of guna traya abhasa. Guna traya abhasa refers to the jiva and the matter. So nimitta bandave guna traya abhasa, he inspires to act the jiva and matter. Adrishta dhamne, and he has a form which is unseen, which means, is it unseen by anyone? He says adrishta dhamne gunatattva buddhibhi, that buddhi or that intelligence which is absorbed in gunatattva, in material objects, adrishta dhamne, that intelligence cannot conceive of the Supreme Lord, and those with material senses, they cannot see the Supreme Lord, and the material senses cannot conceive of that Supreme Lord. Nivritta manaya. Mana means measurement. So one cannot really understand the measurement of the Supreme Lord, or how big he is, how great he is. It is impossible to understand. Like, the Lord is also called as aprameya. It is aprameyo rishikesho padmanabho maraprabhu. Like that in Vishnu Sahasranam it comes. Aprameya. So he is nivritta manaya. It is very difficult to measure him using any material yardstick. Like that. Okay. So I will repeat once more, and then we will see if we can recollect how the Lord is being described here by Daksha. Namo Dade, I am offering my respectful obeisances unto Swayambhuve, the self-born Lord. Paraya, who is superior to the Jiva and Maya and its products. And Avitata Anubhutaye, and who is real knowledge, realization of whom is real and eternal. Avitata is real. Anubhuti is experiential knowledge. It is real. Nimitta bhandave, he inspires to act gunatraya abhasa. Gunatraya abhasa refers to the jiva and matter. He inspires them. As Shukadeva Goswami also mentions in the second canto, fourth chapter, Bhungte gunan shodasha shodashatmakaha solan krishishta bhagavan vacham sime. He says that as he is the shodasha shodasha atmakaha, he is the atma or the inspiring force behind all the dead elements also. So dead elements, even though they are dead, but they are able to exhibit a particular dharma, and that ability to exhibit that dharma is given by the Supreme Lord in the form of the super soul, who is empowering each and every element also. What to speak of living entities, even the non-living dead matter also gets the ability to exhibit its dharma by the presence of the Supreme Lord. That's what he is indicating here as gunatraya abhasa nimitta bandave. He inspires to act the jiva and dead matter. Adrishta damne gunatattva buddhibihi, and he cannot be understood or perceived by an intelligence, and the senses empowered by the intelligence, they cannot perceive the form of this Lord. Or the intelligence and the senses inspired by the intelligence, which are controlled by the three modes, are absorbed in material objects, that cannot understand the Supreme Lord. and nivritta manaya. One can never understand how big, how far and wide, how great the Supreme Lord is. That is not possible. That Bhagavatam says even Krishna himself cannot understand what is the extent of his powers. Like that. Okay. So you can please close your book and try to recollect whatever Daksha has mentioned in this first verse.
Namo Dade.
Namo Dade. Very good.
Swayambhuve.
Swayambhuve. Okay. And then he says Paraya. Paraya means?
Beyond the
Beyond Jiva. No. One who is superior to the Jiva.
Superior to the Jiva and matter. Yeah. Okay. Then?
Avatita Anubhutaye.
Avitata Anubhutaye means?
Which is knowledge which is real and experiential knowledge.
Real experiential knowledge. Yes, very good. What is the next thing that he says?
Gunatrayabhasa.
Nimitta Bandhave.
Nimitta Bandhave means?
Inspired by.
Who inspires to act?
Yeah.
Who acts as the who inspires to act? He inspires to act. Whom does he inspire to act?
Gunatraya avasa.
Meaning?
Jiva and the matter. Jiva and matter.
Yeah, Jiva and matter. He inspires to act in the form of Paramatma. Okay. What else does he say?
Adrishta.
Dhamne. Adrishta Dhamne.
Adrishta Dhamne. Okay. By?
By the Jiva whose buddhi is absorbed in sense objects.
Correct. Guna Tattva Buddhi Bihi. Correct. So, Guna Tattva Buddhi Bihi Adrishta Dhamne. He says. And finally, he says.
Nivritta.
Manaya.
He cannot be measured. Okay. Okay, very good. So we will now see. We will not memorize this verse, but we will see the explanation by Vishnachakra Thakur. Paraya means unto the Lord who is superior to the Jiva, Maya, and the products of Maya. That is the meaning of Paraya. How is that? He says he has true perception. Avitata anubhutaye. Oh, this is the right understanding. He said, how is it that he is superior to Jiva, Maya and the products of Maya? Because Krishna has true perception. Avitata anubhuti. Avitata means infallible. Anubhuti means experience. See, we experience something like, for example, you all few months back or a couple of months back, you got some fever. That was some anubhuti. But you could not immediately figure out whether it is COVID, whether it is regular fever, whether it is dengue, whatever. So you had to eventually get yourself tested. And then, then they had to tell you what you were suffering from. But in the case of Krishna, and which could be true, which could be false also. Even the swab test or any other, COVID test, some people say that, this has a 70% possibility. 30% it could be wrong also. Or like that. So, but Krishna's perception is avitata anubhutaye. True perception. What he is seeing, that is what it is. There is no chance of he's seeing something, but it being something else, like that. Then he says, he is the instigator of the Jiva and Maya in the form of Paramatma. He has a form which is unseen by the Jivas who think that the sense objects are real. So those whose minds are absorbed in material sense objects, thinking that I can derive real pleasure out of it, such living entities cannot see the form of Krishna. They cannot perceive and understand the form of Krishna. That form is not understood by others and it cannot be measured. That is what is called as nivritta manaya. No one can say the extent of his qualities or powers. And he quotes this verse from Brahmaji's prayers in the 10th canto, where he says, Gunatmanastepi gunan vimatum hitvava tirnasya ka ishiresya kalena yairva vimita sukalpair bhupamsa vakke mihikadyubhasah. He says, in time, learned philosophers or scientists might be able to count all the atoms of the earth, the particles of snow, or perhaps even the shining molecules radiating from the sun, the stars, and other luminaries. But among these learned men, who could possibly count the unlimited transcendental qualities possessed by you, Supreme Personality of Godhead, who have descended onto the surface of the earth for the benefit of all living entities? So, Nivritta Manaya. Kesho dunapi samavasyati nasya param, it is mentioned. That Lord Shesha, has, with his thousands of mouth, he has been glorifying for unlimited duration of time, but even he could not reach the extent of the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Like that. So that is what is called as Nivritta Manaya. Okay. Is there any quick comments, questions before we move on to Prabhupada's purport? Okay.
Purport.
Hari Bhakti?
Yes.
Purport, yeah.
The transcendental position of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is explained herewith. He is not perceivable by the conditioned souls who are accustomed to material vision and cannot understand that the Supreme Personality of Godhead exists in his abode, which is beyond
okay.
vision.
Yeah, what is Prabhupada talking about?
Not perceivable. Gunatattva buddhi
bhir. Adrishta damne gunatattva buddhi bhir. Okay, while he is reading, you can also take a look at the screen. I have the verse. So when I ask Hari Bhakti Prabhu to pause, you can just tell what Prabhupada is talking about. Yes, go ahead, Hari Bhakti.
Even if a materialistic person could count all the atoms in the universe, he would still be unable to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Pause.
Nivritti Manaya.
Nivritti Manaya.
Nivritti Manaya. Very good. Okay, continue.
As confirmed in Brahma Samhita 534, the conditioned souls may try to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead for many billions of years through their mental speculative process, traveling at the speed of the mind or the wind. But still the absolute truth will remain inconceivable to them, because a materialistic person cannot measure the length and breadth of the Supreme Personality of Godhead's unlimited existence. If the absolute truth is beyond measurement, one may ask, how can one realize him? The answer is given here by the word Swayambhuve. One may understand him or not, but nevertheless he is existing in his own spiritual potency.
Over?
Yes, Prabhu.
Any quick comments before we move on to the next verse? Okay.
Prabhuji, this Daksha,
yeah.
his mind was not absorbed in materialistic things. I mean, he was absorbed or not. Because Lord gave him darshan na, after these prayers.
Yeah, he did give him darshan after the prayers. But that darshan is, see, it is not the darshan that matters. Someone may have, someone may get, someone may give sugarcane juice, but a person with jaundice, he will experience it as being bitter only. So even though two people are getting the same juice, but the experience is different. So it is the experience that counts and not the darshan itself. Because that way, if you see, even Duryodhana and others, they also got darshan of Krishna. So that is not what matters. It is what impact that darshan has on that person. That's what matters actually.
Hmm. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Next verse we will continue. Nayasya sakyam purusho vaiti sakyuhu sakavasan samvasata puresmin guno yata gunino vyakta drishtes tasmai maheshaya namaskaromi. He says, tasmai unto that Supreme Lord, Maheshaya, who is great, he is a great controller, namaskaromi. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the great Lord, Saka, the friend, Vasan, who is staying, Asmin Pure, in this body, Navadwarapur. Saka Vasan Asmin Pure. Vyakta Drishtehe, who allows the Jiva to manifest knowledge. Sarvasachaham Hridisannivishto Matta Smritir Jnanam Apohanamcha. So that is the meaning of Vyakta Drishtehe, who allows the Jiva to manifest knowledge. Yesya, and whom Purushaha, the Jiva, Samvasataha, even though he is living with him, Na Avaiti Sakyuhu, does not recognize him as a friend. Therefore, the Supreme Lord is called as
Adokshaja.
Okay, I'll give you one hint. That's why the Supreme Lord is addressed as dash in the Puranjan section.
Acha, what is that? Paramatma. Avigyata.
Avigyata Saka.
Saka.
Here it is mentioned as Na Avaiti Sakyuhu. So, Yasya, whom Purushaha Samvasata, even though the Jiva is cohabiting in the same house with this Supreme Lord, Na Avaiti Sakyuhu, he cannot recognize him as his friend. Yata guno guninaha, just as the sense objects do not know the revealing power of the senses. If they knew the revealing power of the sense objects would become very excited. When the sense objects come in touch with one who has very artistic taste. So if only the sense objects had the capacity to understand, to experience them, what is the capacity of the person, what is the sensual capacity of the person who is going to experience that sense objects, then they would get very excited. But that is not seen, because sense objects are dull matter, they are dead matter. Similarly, just as dead matter is absolutely incapable of understanding the potency of the senses, similarly, conditioned souls, which are a living entity which is covered by dead matter or the consciousness of dead matter, is as incapable recognizing Krishna's supremacy and his benevolence. So that is what is indicated here. I'll go over the verse again. Tasmai Maheshaya Namaskaromi. I offer respects to the Lord, who is Sakha, who is the friend, Vasan, who resides Asmin Pure, within this body, Vyakta Drishtehe, and allows the Jiva to exhibit his knowledge, Yasya, and whom Purushaha, this Jiva, Samvasataha, even though he is cohabiting with Krishna, Na Avaiti Sakyuhu, cannot recognize him as a friend. Yata Guno Guninaha. Just as the sense objects do not know the revealing power of the senses, in the same way, the living entity cannot know. Okay. Now, can you recollect?
Maheshaya. Tasmai Maheshaya Namo Nama. No.
Karoti Namaha.
तस्मै नमः नमः करोमि.
सॉरी नमः करोमि.
लेट मी ऑफर माय रिस्पेक्टफुल ऑब्लिगेशंस टू द सुप्रीम लॉर्ड हु इज द कंट्रोलर. ओके देन
सखा.
He is Saka, he is friend. And
where
is Saka? Huh?
Vasan.
Vasan, he stays where?
Asmin Pure.
Pure, in this body. Very good. And then staying in the body, what does he do?
Allows him to manifest knowledge, something like that.
Allows him to manifest knowledge. Vyakta Drishti.
Vyakta Drishti.
Okay, and then?
He is, but for the Purusha, for the Jiva, he is Naveti Sakyu.
Purusha.
No, living with him, Samvasataha.
Samvasan. Naveti Sakyu. He cannot identify that he is his friend. Okay, what else?
Just as. Gunina.
Just as sense objects cannot realize the revealing power of the senses, similarly, the living entity. Did we miss out anything?
Yes, sir.
I think more or less we have covered everything. Good. Okay. So, can someone summarize the essence of this verse in one line? Take a few seconds to summarize the essence of this. What is the message of this verse in one line? Can you summarize? What is the essential message?
Essential message is that just as the sense objects cannot recognize the senses, similarly means we are so dull and dumb that although Lord is sitting in our heart as the friend, but we are not able to recognize him.
Correct. Of course. Yeah. True. Okay. So, Srila Vishnu Chakradhakur says, this verse elaborates on the unseen form of the Lord. The Jiva does not know that the Lord is his friend, the person who allows his senses to operate. So as a friend, how does he function as a friend? He empowers the Jiva to exhibit his knowledge, allows his senses to operate and all that. The Lord lives in the body as a friend. Though he is Atmaram, he allows the Jiva to enjoy sense objects out of his friendship. And the Jiva, though his friend living in the body and experiencing the Lord's friendship, does not know him. The Lord reveals knowledge of the sense objects to the Jiva through manifesting his intelligence and senses. So it is the intelligence which controls the Gyanendriyas, which are involved in enjoying. So, and that empowerment is given by the intelligence, and that intelligence and senses are further empowered by Krishna only, so that the living entity can at least get an experience of enjoying in this material world away from Krishna. Another version is Vyakta Drishtihi. Then it refers to the Jiva by whom knowledge is revealed. It is like the sense objects which do not know the senses' ability to reveal sweetness and other qualities of the sense objects. That is why the sense objects cannot understand how valuable they are. So they can never understand, because they can never taste their own sweetness. The tongue only can taste the sweetness of sugar. Sugar itself cannot understand how much sweet it is or how it tastes. But the senses can taste the sweetness of the sugar, or the smell of the flower, or the sound of, music, whatever, like that. Any quick comments, questions before we move on to Srila Prabhupada's purport?
Yes, sir.
Okay, Hari Bhakti Prabhu, you can read.
The individual soul and the supreme soul live together within the body. This is confirmed in the Upanishads by the analogy that two friendly birds live in one tree. One bird eating the fruit of...
What is Prabhupada talking about?
Sambhasata.
Okay, yeah, continue.
One bird eating the fruit of the tree and other bird simply witnessing and directing. Mm-hmm. Although the living individual living being who is compared to the bird that is eating is sitting with his friend the supreme soul, the individual living being cannot see him.
Pause.
Na avaiti
sakyuhu. Okay, continue.
Actually, the super soul is directing the workings of his senses in the enjoyment of the sense objects.
Pause.
Vyakta drishti.
Correct. Okay, continue.
But as these sense objects cannot see the senses, the conditioned soul.
Yatha guno gunina.
Correct. Okay, continue.
The conditioned soul cannot see the directing soul. The conditioned soul has desires and the supreme soul fulfills them. But a conditioned soul is unable to see the supreme soul. Thus, Prajapati Daksha offers his obeisances to the supreme soul, the super soul, even though unable to see him. Another example is given that although ordinary citizens work under the direction of the government, they cannot understand how they are being governed or what the government is. In this regard, Madhvacharya quotes the following words from Skanda Puran. Yatha rajnya priyatvam tu vritya vedena chatmanaha tatha jivo na yat sakhyam vetti tasmai namostute. As the various servants in the different departments of big establishments cannot see the supreme managing director under whom they are working, the conditioned souls cannot see the supreme friend sitting within their bodies. Let us therefore offer our respectful obeisances unto the supreme who is invisible to our material eyes.
Over?
Yes, Prabhuji.
Okay. Any final comments before we move on to the next verse?
No.
Okay. We'll continue. 25th verse. Deho savoksha manavo bhuta matra atmanamanyam cha viduparam yat sarvam puman veda gunam cha tadnyo na veda sarvajyam anantamide. Okay, Ashay Gopal, can you mute? Okay. He says, Deha, body, asavaha, life as Aksha. Aksha means eyes. Aksha, plural, indicates eyes and the other senses. So Aksha here refers to senses, not directly, but implied. The plural usage of this indicates, that here the word Aksha represents the other senses also. So Dehaha Asavaha Aksha. Manavo, mind, mana here is used to indicate antakaran. Mind, intelligence, false ego and chitta. All four. That is indicated by the word manavo. Bhuta matram. Bhuta refers to the gross elements and matra refers to the tanmatras, the sense objects. Body, life, air, senses, antakaranas, the gross elements and the sense objects. Na viduhu, they do not know. Atmanam, they do not know themselves. Anyam cha. Okay.
Voice not cutting between Puji.
I know. I just got a phone call.
Okay.
So it gets cut when the phone call comes. Okay. But Sarvam Puman Veda. But the Jiva knows all these things. Gunamscha. And the gunas which cause all these things. Like for example, the body is primarily made of... you know, gross elements which come from tamasic ahankar, the life airs come from rajasic ahankar, the senses come from rajasic ahankar, like that, you know. And amongst the antakaranas, buddhi comes from sattvic ahankar, rajasic ahankar, mind comes from sattvic ahankar, like that. So the jiva has the capacity to know sarvam puman veda gunamscha. Now the jiva has the capacity to know all these things and the gunas which cause all these things. Tadgya, he can also know paramatma. It is possible for the jiva to understand the paramatma. Na veda sarvagyam, but does not really know the omniscient Lord. I worship Ide Anantam, that Lord with infinite qualities. So through practice of yoga, he may even come to know the Paramatma feature of the Lord, but to understand the Bhagavan feature completely is not possible. So even though the living entity's incapability to know the Lord was focused in the last two verses, in this particular verse, the focus, even though he is talking about unknowability, but the focus is the infinite qualities of the Lord. The Lord is so infinite, especially in his Bhagavan feature, that it is impossible for the living entity to understand him. So even though he's mentioning the same point, but the focus is different. The focus is on the unlimited qualities of the Supreme Lord, the extent of his, of course he does mention about this in the previous verse also, but the focus is more in this verse about his unlimited qualities. So we will again go through the verse. Deha asavaha aksha manavo bhuta matram, all these material things, na viduhu, they do not know. Atmanam, they do not know themselves, they don't have the capacity to know themselves. Anyamcha, and they do not know the capacity to know the others within that category. Yat param, or the jiva who is superior to all these, this category completely. So they cannot. But sarvam puman veda, but all these things the living entity can understand. Gunamscha, and he can also understand how these are all products of the gunas. That much he can understand. Tadnyaha, he can also know tad. He also knows tad, as in tattvam asi. So tad refers to the paramatma. So tadnyaha means, one, the jiva by his constitutional nature has the capacity to understand the paramatma. But na veda sarvagyam, but he cannot understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Why? Because he is anantam. Because he is filled with infinite qualities. Therefore, Ide, I worship that infinite Supreme Personality of Godhead. Okay, so now please close your book and try to recollect whatever you remember.
Deha, Asava,
Deha, Aksha. Asava. Asava means beverage.
Asava is beverage.
Asava means life airs. Deha, Asava, then?
Aksha.
Aksha means what?
Senses.
Okay. And then?
Manavo bhuta matram. Matram.
Yeah, manavo is represents
gross elements. No, internal senses. Bhuta is gross senses. Matram is tanmatras.
Tanmatras. Okay. What about them?
They cannot know each other or them.
Na viduhu.
Atmanam, they cannot know themselves. Anyamscha, and they cannot know the others. And
tatparam.
Param. They cannot know that jiva who is superior to all of them. Then, but who knows?
Jiva knows.
The jiva knows.
Purushaha. Purushaha viduhu. The Purusha knows all of them. and the Purusha also knows Gunamscha. How the Gunas are the source of all these things, you know, Deha, Manava, Akshava, Aksha, and all these things, the Gunas are the source. They know that also. Do the Guna, do the Jiva know something else also?
Paramatma. Tadgya.
Tadgya. They know the Paramatma also. Does it mean that the Jiva can know everything?
No.
So, is there something that the Jiva cannot know?
Anantam.
Na Veda Sarvagyam.
Sarvagyam. Sarvagyam.
Na Veda Sarvagyam. Because he is Anantam.
Anantam.
So, therefore, Ide, I worship that unlimited Supreme God, like that. Okay. So, Srila Vishnu Jagadakur says, the sense objects cannot know since they are material. But the Jiva is conscious. Why does the Jiva not know the Lord? Okay. Sense objects cannot know because they are dead matter, so they cannot know. But the Jiva is conscious matter. Not conscious matter. It's a conscious entity. So why can't the Jiva know the Supreme Lord? So here Daksha says, though the Jiva is conscious, he is unconscious of the Lord. Because that is the nature of Jiva. The nature of Jiva, he is not, even though he is spiritual, but he is tatastha only. So there is gradation even in spiritual elements. Spiritual is not equally spiritual. Just like matter is not equally matter. With eyes you can see only, with ears you can hear only. Even though both eyes and ears are matter, but they cannot interchangeably do their job. There is gradation. You know, there is differentiation. Eyes can do certain things, ears can do certain things, mind can do certain things, false ego does certain things, and they cannot interchangeably do each other's job. Similarly, even within spirit, there is variety, there is gradations. So, the Jivatma is a part of Tatastha Shakti only. So, even though it is spiritual, it does not have the capacity that which falls under the Antaranga Shakti has. So, Antaranga Shakti spiritual materials have more capacity than Tatastha Shakti spiritual elements, like the Jivas. So, even though the Jiva is conscious, he is unconscious of the Lord, because that is his constitutional position only. The Tatastha Jiva cannot understand the Supreme Lord. The body, the life affairs in the body, the sense and the internal senses, the five gross elements and the sense objects do not know their own form or the form of other things or the form of the Jiva different from all other Atmas. The Jiva, however, because it is conscious, knows everything. So, as a Tatastha Jiva, he definitely has the capacity to understand matter. To a large extent, you can say almost like complete extent, he has the capacity to understand matter. So, the Jiva, however, because it is conscious, knows everything. The self, the body, and the gunas of matter, which are the root of all those things. In the liberated stage, the Jiva also knows the Paramatma, Tadnya. But he does not know the Supreme Lord. But one may say, but you just said that he knows the Paramatma. Why do you say he does not know the Lord? He does not know because the Lord's spiritual qualities are unlimited. And Paramatma is, the Paramatma manifestation is spiritual. But in realization of Paramatma, there is only realization of the material qualities of the Supreme Lord. There is no realization of the spiritual qualities of the Supreme Lord. Because Paramatma means the Purushavataras. The Karanodaka Sai Vishnu, Garbhodaka Sai Vishnu, and Shirodaka Sai Vishnu. So, realization of the Paramatma means realizing how these Purushavataras are involved in maintaining the material universes. So, which is essentially understanding their activities and qualities with respect to this material world only. So therefore, so knowledge of Paramatma does not necessarily indicate knowledge of the Supreme Lord. So he does not know, because the Lord's spiritual qualities are unlimited. That is why he does not know. So he quotes a verse from the prayers of personified Vedas, where it is mentioned, "My Lord, you are unlimited and no one has estimated the extent of your potencies. I think that even you do not know the range of your potential energies. Unlimited planets float in the sky just like atoms, and great Vedantists who are engaged in research to find you discover that everything is different from you. Thus they finally decide that you are everything." Which means it's not that people do not endeavor to understand the Supreme Lord, but their endeavors does not result in a successful understanding. So it is an improper understanding. That's what the Vedas, personified Vedas, also are indicating here. Okay. Any quick comments, questions before we move on to Prabhupada's purport?
So only because the Lord is unlimited, that is why the Lord cannot be understood by the Tatastha Shakti. That is the answer, no? Like, because Krishna said Gita that Janma Karma Chame Divam Evam Yo Vyakti Tattvata. So one understands me, he comes back to me. So
yeah, that, and one of the is to understand that Ananta, and therefore impossible for the tiny living entity to completely understand. That is one of the aspects of Evam Yo Vetti Tatvatah.
So Prabhuji, like, even though, like, the Jiva, he is above the superior energy. Above the inferior energy, the Bahiranga, he's like above, but still he gets entrapped by that. And the reason, like, Paropi Manute Anurtam Bise, na? So that is there, but like when the living entity understands his position as like Bhukta Bhoga Parityakta Drishta Loha Janityasha, so that time, then once having come to Krishna consciousness, the journey should become little easy, like, according to that. But still the struggle continues on, like, it feels like the struggle will never end.
Correct. So if you see, you gave nice example. Just like a person, when he is fully awake, he has complete control over his bodily functions. Like, he will not let he has full control over his saliva, just for example. But when one goes into a state of sleeping and dreaming, then he starts drooling, right? Saliva flows out of his mouth, so he starts drooling. He loses that control when he becomes unconscious of his capacity, because of he has gone to sleep, and when he wakes up, but still there is an interim period when he completely comes to consciousness. He starts becoming sort of conscious that it was a dream, I was sleeping, but then still the dream was such a deep rooted dream that he is like sort of switching back and forth, thinking which is dream, because the lingering effects of the dream are so strong. He feels like, it still sounds very real, like that. And at that point, that is the point, for how long he will continue in that stage depends on how he is going to pick himself up off the bed and go to the bathroom to take a shower. So and if he has other people who are willing to you know, pick him up, chalo, 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 and take him to the bathroom and help him get a shower and get fresh. So it depends on that. So similarly, yes, we have, by taking up to the path of bhakti, we have started getting up, but we are still lying out, lying down in the bed and wondering, like, yeah, it was a dream, but it was such a real dream. Was it really a dream? Like that we are thinking. So at that time, if we have the right association of devotees who are willing to pull us out of the bed and help us get freshen up, then that that stupor, you know, they call it the stage of stupor, it becomes a very short stage. If we don't have that association, then that stage of stupor, it continues for a long time. And in some cases, we may again go back to sleep also. Like that. Does it make sense?
Yes.
I don't know whether it answers your question.
Yes, sure. So it depends on the on our endeavor as well as association of devotees.
How eager. Now that I am starting to realize that it was just a dream and I was sleeping, how quickly am I willing to get off the bed? And if I cannot do that myself, how much I am willing to take help and get off the bed and get fresh quick? So it depends on that. Like that.
Yes.
Anything else before we move to Srila Prabhupada's purport? Okay, Hari Bhakti Prabhu, you can read.
Material scientists can make an analytical study of the physical elements, the body, the senses, the sense objects, and even the air that controls the vital force. But still, they cannot understand that above all these is the real spirit soul.
Okay, pause. What is Prabhupada talking about? First half of the sentence, what he is talking about? Second half of the sentence, what he is talking about?
First half is Deha's
Ashvaksha Manava Bhuta Matram
Navidu.
First half he is telling Sarvan Sarvam Puman Veda. The material thing, they may perform all the things and they can know actually to some extent. Sarvam Puman Veda. And in the second half he says
all, but still they cannot understand that above all this is the real spirit soul.
That even though it is not explicitly mentioned here, because here it is talking about the potential of the living entity. But there, Prabhupada in the purport is talking about in the conditioned state, the living entity cannot even understand his own self like that.
In other words, the living entity, because of his being a spirit soul, can understand all the material objects, or when self-realized, he can understand the Paramatma. Upon whom the yogis meditate.
Yeah. So now he is talking about?
Tadgya. He can know Paramatma.
Tadgya. Yeah.
Nevertheless, the living being, even if advanced, cannot understand the Supreme Being, the Personality of Godhead, for he is Ananta, unlimited in all six opulences.
Naveda Sarvagyam Anantam. Yeah. That's all, purport?
Yeah, that's all.
Oh, okay. What is the time?
12 o'clock.
Hari Bol.
12 o'clock, Guruji. 12 o'clock.
Oh, is it 12 o'clock?
Yes.
Okay. So we will pause here and then continue this discussion tomorrow. Okay. So thank you very much for your patient listening. Srila Prabhupada ki. जय भागवतम की जय पंचाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमः हरे कृष्ण